Democrat Doug Jones pulled out a stunning defeat of Republican Roy Moore in Alabama's special election yesterday. We'll go straight to the analysis with Andre Reeves. She is an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Andre, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start with the numbers. Can you go through the returns that put Democrat Doug Jones on top last night?
Well, if I had them, it's a squeaker. Mm. And former Chief Justice or deposed Chief Justice Roy Moore has said he's not giving up on this. So it's still very close. There are about 1.2 million people that voted, and it's pretty much squeaking close.
What is your reaction to last night's results?
Relief. I think this was not about Donald Trump. This was about Roy Moore. Roy Moore was such a controversial candidate. He was a dream candidate if you were running on the other side, because everything that was wrong could have been wrong was. Including, you know, and even before he was accused of child molesting or, you know, going after 14-year-old girls in the mall and being banned from the mall, before that, he was still a tremendously divisive candidate. He had been running around the state. Well, he was elected Chief Justice twice, and he was deposed twice for not following federal court orders, for putting his own religion, his own law over the state law and over national law, defying United States Supreme Court orders. And so he was divisive even before all these allegations of sexual misbehavior.
Well, last night in Doug Jones's victory speech, he thanked African Americans, he
right.
thanked Latino voters, and he also thanked Jewish voters. What do we know about the breakdown of people who voted for Doug Jones?
Well, you had 671,000 people and change voting for Doug Jones, and you had a slightly smaller amount or number voting for. I had the numbers in front of me, and the ad popped up that obscured them. Let's see, and it won't go.
And what is your take on this whole idea of the write-in? Because a write-in candidate had at least a 1.5% or so of the vote.
Right, and that could well have swayed the race. I think, and write-in candidates have had some success in Alabama, by the way. There have been at least a couple of legislators who won by write-in votes, and
let's listen to a bit of Jones's victory speech last night in Birmingham. The crowd there was absolutely ecstatic. Let's take a listen.
This campaign has been about common courtesy and decency and making sure everyone in this state, regardless of which zip code you live in, is going to get a fair shake in life.
So regardless of which zip code you live in, getting a fair shake in life, what is he alluding to there?
Well, there are a whole bunch of counties, particularly the black belt counties named for the soil, that go across it's a belt across the state south of Montgomery, and those states those counties are very poor. They have gotten, and they went overwhelmingly blue last night. If you look at the map, there's a big blue swath across the state. There's Madison County in North Alabama, and everything else in North Alabama was solid red. And North Alabama, particularly Madison County and Limestone County, are fairly wealthy counties in Alabama. And around Birmingham and Mountain Brook and Vestavia Hills are very wealthy counties. And some of those counties down in South Alabama are very poor. They have been discriminated against in some reasons when a couple years ago when they closed, the state decided we couldn't afford to keep the driver's license offices open. And, of course, that looked like it was just to keep people from getting their voter identification card, since now you have to have a state-issued voter ID. And so they closed a bunch of driver's license offices, which made it that much harder for the people in the poor counties to get that, you know, to get that access to be able to vote. There's some poverty. The United Nations observers were in Alabama the other day and saying they'd never seen this kind of poverty in the United States.
So we know that Roy Moore has not conceded this election.
Right.
It was a razor-thin margin. What is the likelihood of a recount, and when does it become a mandatory recount?
I think at 1% is when it becomes a mandatory recount, and he's got, right now, it's a 20,000 vote difference, roughly. And so he will probably have to pay for a recount if they do one. It's not state mandated right now, and he won't concede.
Well, the president had backed Roy Moore despite multiple accusations of sexual misconduct and assault, but the president did tweet congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great, and the Republicans will have another shot at this seat in a very short period of time. It never ends! Exclamation mark. What do you make of the president's tweet?
Well, I guess he realizes that he might need Doug Jones. He also, you know, this election, although some people would like to say that this was about Trump, it's not. It's pretty much about Roy Moore. There may be some Trump voters or anti-Trump voters that were mobilized around the edges, but this was a Roy Moore, Doug Jones contest, and Roy Moore was the one that got all the attention. Even though, you know, Doug Jones was certainly a credible candidate and would have been a credible candidate and was several years ago when he ran one time before. He didn't get out of the primary, but he was a good candidate. And Roy Moore was just, he was the darling of probably about a third of the state. And the rest of everybody else just thought he was abhorrent.
Well, President Trump, after dancing around the issue, gave Roy Moore a full endorsement last week, saying he didn't want to see a liberal Democrat take the office and possibly derail his agenda. He also recorded a robocall for Moore, and let's hear a little bit of that call.
I'm stopping illegal immigration and crime, rebuilding a stronger military and protecting the Second Amendment and our pro-life values. But if Alabama elects liberal Democrat Doug Jones, all of our progress will be stopped cold.
What do you make of the RNC's involvement in Roy Moore's effort here?
I think it's going to hurt them. I think it'll hurt them nationally. I don't think it helped them locally. One of the problems that Alabama's had for years is they've been tired of people from up north, and this time the liberal Republicans, telling us what to do. And so when Mitch McConnell and other people come down, you know, make comments about what should happen in Alabama, a lot of people rebel at that, and they say, we don't want the people and folks in Washington telling us what to do, and we're going to go vote for our own. And so I don't think Trump's involvement or the RNC's involvement helped much at all.
Certainly, it could be said that there was an influx of media attention, media descending on Alabama. You perhaps had a population blip there for a little while.
Yes.
What is the mood like there in Alabama?
Well, in the big cities, it's pretty happy. And granted, we haven't had enough time to process this, but what I'm seeing amongst the people I know and some of my friends and a whole bunch of other people say on social media things is people are ecstatic. I'm sure that there's a lot of the state that's probably pretty angry. But they should be used to that, because, you know, these are the people that elected a guy that's gotten thrown off the state Supreme Court twice. So I don't know why they would be surprised that everybody else would reject that.
Democrats won a Senate seat in Alabama for the first time. This is the first time since 1992. Democrat Doug Jones narrowly defeating embattled Republican Roy Moore. We're talking about it on this hour of the morning show. Unexpected victory is a blow to the GOP. We're looking at the race and the aftermath this hour with Andre Reeves, a political scientist at the University of Alabama at Huntsville. Your thoughts on this race, 800-642-1234. What do you think led Doug Jones to victory in a state that hasn't seen a Democrat in the Senate since 1992? What questions do you have? Is this a big deal to you, or is this a big deal to the political world? 800-642-1234. We'll return after a news update. In Alabama, Democrat Doug Jones defeated Republican Roy Moore by 1.5 percentage points. While the write-in vote was slightly larger than the margin between the two major party nominees, more than 22,000 voters, or 1.7% of the electorate, wrote in a name instead of voting for Moore or Jones. We're getting analysis on the results on this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Andre Reeves is an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Getting your insights as well at 800-642-1234. Do you see this as a massive blow to President Trump and his former chief strategist, Breitbart News head Steve Bannon, who campaigned for Moore? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Andre, tell us about Doug Jones's background. How did he come to this point to politics?
Okay, well, he's the son of, I think, a steel worker, and he's been in the public eye for a while because he was a U.S. attorney under the Clinton administration, and he was a well-known prosecutor, and he was best known for prosecuting a couple of former Klan members years after the fact, who blew up the church in Birmingham and killed four little girls in 1963. And it took them, it took them years and years to find who did it, and so He finally got them and prosecuted successfully and convicted two Klan members, Ku Klux Klan members, for blowing up for the church bombing. So that's his big claim to fame, although he's been a lawyer and a prosecutor in the state for years.
One of the fascinating things I think about his victory speech is he named several people on his campaign who said, he said, when the history is written about Alabama politics, we will remember these names. He mentioned Joe Trippi, Giles Perkins, another person. How did campaign strategy and the art of campaign operatives get Jones to this point?
Well, he ran a fabulous campaign, and sort of relentless in terms of calling. They called everybody, and robocalls, and then they had a tremendous get out the vote campaign. They went after sort of the groups that they knew they had to mobilize, like African Americans, who did turn out at about 30% of the electorate, and which is an extraordinary number for Alabama. And these guys just did a bang up job, but they worked. They had Doug Jones, going to 4 to 6 events a day and raising money left and right. And he had media ads. He had television ads all over the place. And in the last week or so, he had a bunch of radio ads that targeted people that weren't sitting around all day watching television and watching the news. And he also used. He took advantage of the fact that Senator Richard Shelby had said that he would not support Roy Moore, and he would be writing in the name of a prominent Alabamian, and we don't know who he wrote in yet. But Jones used those statements in his ads. And he also, I don't know, these guys were terrifically effective, much more so and systematic about it. And they weren't relying on people just to say, oh, I think maybe I'll go vote for Doug Jones. Most people had their minds made up a long time ago.
Let's go to Jacqueline, who joins us from Slinger. Hi, Jacqueline.
Yes, good morning. I heard one commentator say that he thought the election might have turned on the fact that Roy Moore focused so much on the culture war, whereas Jones focused on the economy, and he thought this might be a message for Democrats in 2018 to swing away from the culture war issues and focus like a laser beam on the economy.
Well, that certainly would make great sense.
Yeah.
Roy Moore certainly, he did focus on the culture war, and everything he said sort of, he's almost the equivalent of Donald Trump within Alabama, and he played to his base all the time. He wasn't going out trying to get more voters or additional voters. He was trying to turn out his base, which was a substantial portion of the population. Doug Jones, on the other hand, knew that he had to make this collection of everybody else who wasn't part of the Moore base, because he wasn't going to switch the diehard Moore supporters. He just had to mobilize other people to vote. So he had to play on those issues like the economy, and he also had to fight off some of the inaccuracies that had been aired about him, like he was for complete gun control and anti-Second Amendment, whatever that means. And
Yeah, and so let's look a little bit here. Some comments flowing in from Facebook. Steven on Facebook says, embarrassing that this was as close as it was. The Republican Party shouldn't even have allowed Moore to run. Jeremy on Facebook writes, Democrats barely won this one, but a win is a win. Now let's see what Doug Jones will accomplish. Andre, your thoughts on this being so incredibly close?
Well, it is a win in Alabama, given that the Democrats haven't won anything statewide for years. The last one they won statewide was a Supreme Court Justice Sue Bell Cobb, and that's been a number of years ago. I think it helps the Democrats. It means that there may be a chance in Alabama. One of the interesting things is, for years, as most people probably know, in the South was completely Democratic, and the reason the Republicans got elected in Alabama to start with was because the Democrats messed up so badly, and they did this in the 1980s when you had a Democratic primary. The two people who were contesting the primary, one of them invited a bunch of Republicans to cross over and vote in the Democratic primary, and they did. And then the Democratic Executive Committee took the nomination away from that candidate who won that, because they didn't like that person. And this is where the Republicans would have had a risk had they had they removed Moore from the ticket. And when the Democrats did that and they removed the winning candidate, Bill Baxley and Charlie Graddick, if they removed Charlie Graddick from the ticket and put in Bill Baxley, and everybody went running to the Republican Party, who didn't think they had a choice and didn't have a credible candidate, who then got elected governor, Guy Hunt, and then he was removed from the governorship too.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Marty joins us from Lake Geneva. Hi, Marty. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a question and a comment. The question being, what's the likelihood that these uncounted votes will tip the scale in Roy Moore's favor? And my comment would be, if the results hold, all I can say is, God, thank you.
I suspect that the results aren't going to change a whole lot. Apparently, if the half a percent is the trigger point for a recount, and they have to do that within 48 hours. And once they get all the ballots counted, And then Moore would have to put up a bond to cover the cost of the, conducting the recount. And if the outcome changed, the state would have to pay it. But if the outcome didn't change, Moore would have to pay for it. And I suspect, you know, I don't know how many outstanding votes there are, but I suspect it's not going to change the result much.
Well, Marty, thanks for the call. Let's go to Steve now, who joins us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, to be honest, I don't know much about Roy Moore or the Alabama politics, so I don't have a lot of comments about Roy Moore. I know there was a lot of sexual harassment claims against him, but I didn't follow it religiously. But it does seem like the elephant in the room is the weaponization of that sexual harassment. If it wasn't for that, it seems Roy Moore probably would have won in a landslide. So my question really is not just about the Alabama politics, but, you know, across the country, whether it's Franken or Trump, you can put Hillary Clinton in that. The weaponization of sexual harassment, what do you think is going to happen in future elections that that could be used as such a weapon against your opponent?
Well, it can be, but let me back up just a second and say that I don't think that made a whole lot of difference in this matter. I think most people had made up their mind way before these allegations came out, and you had Roy Moore supporters or not Roy Moore supporters, and this was sort of icing for the Democrats, although the Roy Moore supporters weren't going to believe it for anything. Now, to the weaponization point, it will be used as a weapon, and there's a whole lot of say, federal money that's been used to settle sexual harassment cases in Congress. And this is taxpayer money, and so the idea is this ought to be public. And maybe if they use that enough, maybe some of this sexual harassment will stop, or at least it'll cut it down.
Steve, thanks for calling in with that question. Another question, Matt in Wausau emailed, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that Alabama could delete electronic voting records days before the election. What do you know about this?
I don't know a whole lot about it other than the Republican-controlled Supreme Court and the Republican-controlled Secretary of State, the court ruled that they didn't have to keep the electronic backups here. So I don't know whether this is a party decision. It's certainly, you know, it's nice if you're having a recount to have either, you know, paper ballots or an electronic trail to be able to count these things. And the Supreme Court, you know, comes in and rules no on it.
Well, in predictions going into yesterday, saying voter turnout would still be pretty bad, maybe 15% voter turnout. What is the takeaway about voter turnout the day after?
Okay, I'm not sure what percentage the turnout was. So it was high, you know, anecdotally from what I heard on the news around here, it was high all over the place. I went to my polling place, and it was very high. I don't know what the complete numbers were. It looks like about a quarter of the state voted, but I don't know what that's of residents. That's not what registered voters are. I haven't seen the numbers on our turnout is.
We're with Andre Reeves. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. We're looking at the Alabama Senate special election race yesterday, where Democrat Doug Jones pulled out a win against Republican Roy Moore. We're getting analysis this hour. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you make of this special election? Do you think this is an indicator of the midterms, the 2018 midterms? What does that speak to? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Joe, who joins us in Weston. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I have a question for the guest couple. Do you think this is a bellwether for the 2018 election? And I mean, if you look at some of the past elections all over the country in lower House seats, the Democrats have been mopping up. And I think behind the scenes, Republicans are in a sense of panic about that you know, they're ruling now like they feel they're going to be in office forever. There's no bipartisanship coming from them whatsoever. So, yeah, and that's all I want to know.
Oh, I think, Joe, you're fading out. But Andre, Joe's wondering, is this a bellwether for 2018 midterms?
I think it is, and I think the Republicans, rightly so, are panicking. The benefit to them is that the Democrats have rarely miss an opportunity to mess it up. If the Democrats can get their act together and can get on message, then they could probably wipe up. I think that this election and the issues surrounding it, the sexual harassment, the economy, the demagoguery, the Trumpism, are all things that would lead to one to think, you know, that the Democrats are going to do better in the next election and possibly take Congress back, and possibly even take both houses back. This election just put the Senate in play.
And we're seeing here that NPR is reporting 40% turnout for the special election. So that would be pretty high turnout for Alabama, would you say?
Absolutely, it is, and usually it's way lower than that, and particularly in a special election. And the Secretary of State yesterday was predicting 25%. So 40% turnout is terrific in Alabama, but that also tells you how divided and how controversial this election was.
Let's bring in David, who joins us from Viroqua. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey, just really two quick points. One is, while I'm glad Roy Moore lost, I find it extremely disturbing that so many people could still manage to vote for such a horrible candidate. But in response to a little bit earlier, a man referred to as the weaponization of sexual harassment being used, and I would like to point out that sexual harassment of women by men was already a weapon. The fact that women have decided to stand up and fight back is hardly a new thing now.
Andre, go ahead.
No, he's absolutely right. But the fact that they now have the mechanism to get the word out a lot more, and people are starting to listen. These women had nothing to gain. I mean, I heard a lot of Alabama voters, being interviewed saying, "Oh, well, we don't believe this, and these women are getting paid." Excuse me, they're not getting paid enough to make up for their reputations, and people just don't believe them. These were in the, or these were probably the non-college educated voters. They're not the NPR listeners for the most part who elected or who voted for Roy Moore. These are the evangelical Christians, and some there was a lot of strategic voting among Republicans to, anecdotally, to try to keep the Republicans the seat Republican, so that they wouldn't have to risk having a Democrat win next time.
Democrats' unexpected victory in Alabama has put the Senate in play for next year's midterms as the party looks to flip 24 seats to take back the House. Democrats are also feeling more emboldened about their Senate prospects, even though they are largely on the defense. We're unpacking the special election results from Alabama, where Democrat Doug Jones upset Republican Roy Moore in the special election there. Andre Reeves stays with us. She is an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Gathering your thoughts on this election at 800-642-1234. What do you make of this as we head into the 2018 midterms? Have you been following this race in Alabama? Do you see this as a turning point for Democrats, a turning point for Republicans? Your thoughts on the race in Alabama, 800-642-1234. Questions as well, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update. The next senator from Alabama will be a Democrat. Doug Jones defeated Republican Roy Moore, handing Democrats an unlikely victory in a deep red state and President Donald Trump's stronghold. Jones spoke to an ecstatic crowd in Birmingham last night. We've got Morning After Analysis with Andre Reeves. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. Do you see the results of this race as a pivotal moment for Democrats, a pivotal moment for Republicans? Do you think this race is a preview of the 2018 midterms? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Scott, who joins us from Whitewater. Hi, Scott. Hey there, Scott. Are you with us? Oh, and Scott is not there. Let's go to Kurt, who joins us from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Kurt.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, with regard to the election, I'm glad Jones won, you know, for whatever it's worth for us Northerners to participate in the election. And he is, you know, it is the national Senate, our Senate, for all of America. But I think it's a temporary, or it's a win in a long battle. So it depends on what happens, you know, going forward here. And I'd like to ask the guest if she may or may not be aware, there is typically so much hostility in Alabama and other southern states, for that matter, towards the federal government and towards who they call outsiders, us northerners or east and west coast people or whatever. I'm wondering, does she know how much per capita Alabama receives from the federal government for roads, education, health care, food, hunger relief, all of those so-called social programs? How do they rate in terms of per capita federal spending?
Okay, I don't know exact numbers there. I can tell you that Alabama gets back a whole lot more than it puts in terms of tax money from the federal government. We are big beneficiaries. We've got military bases all over the place, which also helps that. We've got defense contractors everywhere, particularly around the Huntsville area and the space program. And so we've got jobs, we have social programs, we have a whole lot of things where we are huge beneficiaries of the federal government. And I suspect that the people who are voting for Roy Moore either don't care or don't realize that. Well, and we do slam the federal government all the time, and that goes back to the Civil War.
Well, Kurt also brought up this point that there are a lot of outsiders looking in on this race. And this race that did bring in a lot of outside attention, outside money. That's probably not what usually happens in Alabama, a solidly red state. How big or small a difference do you think that outside involvement had here?
The outside involvement may have directly, like financial aid or something, made some difference around the edges. But where that matters is where the state is trying to up its economic development efforts and try to bring in more jobs, more companies. So we got, for example, a few years ago, we had to sell the state to do it, but we brought Mercedes in to have a plant in near Tuscaloosa, where the University of Alabama is. And I think the business-minded Republicans, the establishment Republicans, were just mortified at this race because it embarrassed them, and it made it that much harder to recruit good companies, good jobs, more money, economic benefits into the state.
Well, Kurt, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Keith now, who joins us from Milwaukee. Go ahead, Keith.
Hello. I just had a wondering if your guest could comment generally about the apparent decline of the Republican Party in terms of how many people seem to think that voting for a pedophile is better than voting for a liberal. I mean, that just strikes me as just crazy.
Well, and yes, that strikes a lot of people as crazy, including a lot of Republicans. And so that's where a lot of people did come over. Either the 2000 and change people who wrote in some, you know, who cast the write-in ballots for somebody else, or the Republicans and the many Republicans who did vote for Doug Jones. And this is a huge problem. The Democrats have the moral high ground, even though, you know, pedophilia and sexual harassment is by no means limited to just the Republican Party. The Democrats would love to be able to claim that, but they obviously can't. You know, that's an equal opportunity problem. But that is a huge problem for Republicans. They are willing to vote, and particularly in Alabama, vote for the crook or the pedophile or whatever, just because, you know, a lot of the media have spent the last 20 years making Democrat a bad word. And they call it the Democrat Party, which is where, you know, that comes from Joe McCarthy. And in Alabama, people have taken that to heart. And if you hear it often enough, you hear it 24/7 on Fox News or on, you know, other cable outlets or on radio, and all these people driving their trucks around or you know, who sit in their cars all day and have nothing to do but listen to the radio, and they listen to talk radio. And if you hear that often enough, you start to believe it.
All right, Keith, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Scott in Whitewater. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I don't think we should minimalize this 2 or maybe 2.5% win that Jones has here. This was Jeff Sessions' seat that I believe he won with a 90% margin when he ran last. So, I mean, overcoming a 90% margin is just incredible.
Well, that means that there's no competition.
I understand that, but at any rate, making up 40 percentage points, is pretty incredible and amazing in an off presidential election.
And Andre, what was the ground game like for Jones? What did their team do to pull this out?
Well, he showed up everywhere. He had campaign signs all over the place, at least in the big cities. There were, so in Huntsville, for example, there were a few Roy Moore signs, but not very many. And there were Doug Jones signs all over the place. Now, you get in some of those Roy Moore counties, you get over in Etowah County where he's from, or you get in some of these smaller counties, because in the primary he won 60 counties out of 67 over Luther Strange and Mo Brooks, who's the representative from North Alabama. You got over there, and I don't know, and I suspect that he didn't have to campaign as much. And so that was he's got the name recognition. His supporters were going to turn out anyway. So what Jones had to do was mobilize voters. And I've seen people politically active this time who had never been politically active before. And these people were out. Not only were, you know, they were making phone calls and that were ubiquitous, they were taking people to the polls, they were wearing their shirts, they were talking about Doug Jones to everybody that they could find. I mean, the Jones people ran a really terrific campaign.
How do you think both parties will spin this election in 2018?
Well, I think many of the Republicans are going to regret that they had Roy Moore on the ticket, and there were lots of efforts to try to get him off the ticket. But as I mentioned earlier, that backfired on the Democrats when they did it in the Braddock and Baxley race. I think they're going to try to mobilize their base. I think they're going to try to maybe focus on other issues, as an earlier caller mentioned, that maybe the culture wars isn't going to work for them.
And Anthony called in to ask, what does this mean for the balance of power in Congress?
Well, it certainly helps the Democrats a little, and it hurts the Republicans because Roy Moore, had he gotten elected, and many Republicans were thinking that he was going to behave like a normal Republican, but he doesn't seem to play nicely with others anywhere. So, and that includes when he was in the military, that includes when he was in law school. So I don't think he would have been a reliable Republican vote. And he would have been ostracized by a lot of the other Republicans anyway, because they didn't want to be associated with him. So I don't know that he would have been much of a help. Mr. Jones is, yes, he's a Democrat. He can also, and has for years, work across the aisle and work with other people, so maybe having a voice of moderation might help both parties.
Do you think Democrats in Alabama can use Jones's victory as a roadmap to win in local elections?
Oh, I think they certainly can. What it has shown is that, and earlier caller mentioned that the 90% win by Sessions. The Democrats haven't been able to recruit credible candidates for a long time because nobody wants to be the sacrificial lamb up there. So now what this does is it makes it okay to be a Democrat again, and it means that some of these people who might not have run, the Democrats are going to have an easier time recruiting credible candidates. And the fact that we got a credible candidate this time for the Democratic Party in Alabama will make it easier for state and local other state and local candidates to run, and maybe somebody might run for governor that might not have thought about doing it before because it was a completely red state. And the fact that they show up and they will say, yes, we can vote for the Democrats now, gives the Democrats a much better chance.
Well, in the last 30 seconds or so here that we have you, what will you be watching for here now that we are a day removed from this special election?
Well, I'll be watching to see the absentee ballots have until the 19th, so basically until next Tuesday to come in. We'll be watching that. We'll be watching how Roy Moore reacts and how the other public officials in the state act, like the governor. The governor who said that she didn't quite endorse Roy Moore, but she said she'd be voting for him. And I want to see what she has to say and what the Secretary of State has to say and, what kind of election fraud charges are likely to come out, as I suspect there will be some.
Well, Andre, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Andre Reeves is an associate professor of political science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina. Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. Cheryl Gasser is director of the Ideas Network and provided on-air technical production. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.